What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Happy Tuesday, happy day where we are the furthest ever possible day away from next year's Yom Kippur. We will never have this much time between this Yom Kippur and next Yom Kippur. Enjoy it, Jewish toasters, relish in it. Good morning.
Good morning. Wow, I can't believe it's Tuesday. I guess that's like a small gift from Yom Kippur being yesterday, but that's where the gifts start and end because yesterday was a rough one, you guys. Like, the fast was difficult, but it was made more difficult because not eating for that long gave me a headache, which I like still have right now. And that's where it gets tough because it's like even when I broke my fast, which usually it's over.
Brings it all back together.
It never ended. It was like a never ending touch.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to be like that girl, but I'm never that girl where it's like, I actually probably have a harder time fasting than most human beings. Like, for some people, like, not eating for a few hours is, like, a part of every day. Like, they, oh, I forgot to eat. Never have been me. Will never be me. I can't be that bitch. Will never be that bitch. But something yesterday, like, I had a kind of an easy time. Like, I was, like, joking around, like, and I was annoyed. But, like, I wasn't to the point where I was, like, gonna faint. I did get in, like, a little bit of a bad mood towards, like, 7 o'clock. But, honestly, it was probably the easiest I've had in my adult life.
I think that's also because we didn't go to temple because of
coronavirus.
So, we were able to just, like, I literally laid in bed all day. It was so crazy. So yes, on the hunger front, it was all right. But then on the headache front, that was a new front for me.
I would say the not going to temple is like a game changer. I mean, we've never not gone. We always go and we'll probably never not go again.
No, we'll probably never go again because now that we've had this experience, like
it's the worst part. Like it's so long and quiet and everyone's breath smells.
But it also does give you something to do during the day.
No, but it also adds.
Like, I was like so aware of every minute passing.
No, but it also adds like a level of meaningfulness to the day because you're like physically atoning for yourself. So I did feel like a little guilty, but I wasn't really mad about it.
I just like it was a really hard one, and I just can't believe we have to do that once a year, like for the rest of our lives.
No, I was thinking that yesterday. I'm like, I'm gonna be like 50 in doing this.
Well, there are exemptions like for the elderly. So
50 is not elderly.
Actually, yeah, but like the older you get,
the closer
you are, the more eligible you are to aging out of the fasting process. Also, if you're pregnant, you don't have to fast. So that's just something to think about as you plan the rest of your life.
Totally. Like, try and plan your pregnancies around the September, October areas.
Totally.
How was your weekend otherwise?
My weekend was really good. I watched a lot of content, like, caught up on so much stuff that I'm excited to talk about. And we had a great GNO. And so it was, like, a really just a great weekend. Great.
Yeah, it was a good combination of like having drinks, also relaxing. I started Mad Men. I too watched a lot of content. I also started Yellowstone at your behest. Me and Ben did, and I just can't believe this is the show you've been talking about.
It requires a lot of patience, and like you might not even like it until 5 episodes in, but you're not gonna love it until maybe season 2. And like in the beginning, there's no character that you like, and you're like, why are these people? Like, you just find it all so strange. But then like something happens, and you just start to love it.
Well, I just like couldn't get on board with the bangs.
Yeah. Well, eventually, like you will really like her. It takes so much time, and like all of that downtime where you're like just trying to figure out what's going on, like, pays off. There's a great payoff.
Well, I couldn't get into it. It was like a bad use of my time. Ben kind of liked it, so he went in the living room and continued on with it, and I started Mad Men, which was such a better show. It really reminds me of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, just in the sense of how they really capture like a decade. And I really like it. I'm really enjoying it.
That's surprising that you like it. I loved it.
It also makes it really challenging because I just don't like Peggy.
Yeah.
What's her character's name?
Elizabeth Olsen. No. Peggy.
What's her name in real life?
Elizabeth Olsen.
It's not Elizabeth Olsen. That's Mary Kate's sister. Elizabeth,
Holmes?
Who's that? Elizabeth. It's right on the tip of my tongue. From Scientology, girl.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Arden? No.
No.
That's the spot. Moss. Yes, it was right on the tip of my tongue. Elizabeth Moss. She like borderline ruins shows for me. Like even I kind of liked Handmaid's Tale, but like she was like truly the main character.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me, and I think the show, like, I think she gets a bigger and bigger role. Like, if what I barely know about it is that, like, she's, like, important, and there's, like, this scene where she's walking down the hall with her box, and it's, like, important. So, like, we'll see. But I'm enjoying it.
She does get a bigger role, but she also becomes much more likable, just like okay. Beth Dutton. But, like, Beth Dutton is not played by an actress who you'll never be able to get behind.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's
no,
the thing.
I feel that. It's a tough one. But it's an ensemble cast. You can, like, focus on other people.
Yeah, it's really excellent. I love January Jones. She's so beautiful. Oh, my God.
She's everything of the sort. It's, like, one of the greatest characters of all time.
And all I want is, like, Don to be nice to her.
I know.
And he just, like, won't, like, give her, like,
he's
any
so
love.
He's so troubled.
So troubled.
Yeah. She doesn't even know, you know?
Right. Like
she thinks she's
brother.
Married, like, a nice guy.
Yeah, who works in advertising.
And he's just, like, has, like, a double life.
I'm also excited to start watching it because I would like to see Harry Hamlin.
He's barely in the show.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
Lisa on Beverly Hills says makes it seem like it's, like,
you know,
his show.
He eventually, like, comes on in a season and, like, has a role. But, like, he's probably number, like, 35 on list of names.
Stop.
In Mad Men. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Lisa, like, really made it seem like he, like, replaced Jon Hamm.
No.
For Don Draper.
No, like, eventually he gets, like, a decent-sized role, but he's, like, not the man.
Well, I've actually never seen him act in anything.
He's not the Mad Man.
Right. I've never seen him act in anything.
Yeah. He's so a good actor.
That'll
he's
be
fine.
Interesting.
You don't even notice him. You're not even going to notice him. He's such a nothing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Tell me how you really feel.
I finished Schitt's Creek, which we'll talk about.
Okay.
Because I have so many thoughts. And I caught up on Love Island. And I feel like there was one other thing that I watched, but I can't remember. Oh, Potomac, obviously.
Oh, yes. We will discuss that in our TV recap segment.
So we'll discuss it all in our TV recap segment?
What yeah, I think we should cut to. We have a very busy episode today.
We do.
We are sitting down with Simon Huck. He just launched a new podcast, and his co-host will be here with him, too. If you're watching this on YouTube, it'll be on another video on our channel. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, just keep listening. It'll be at the end of the episode.
Yeah, very, very exciting to have an in-studio guest for the first time in, like, 8 months.
Very exciting.
It's a very big day here.
And I feel really good knowing it's like Simon from Judy because he'll be totally taken care of.
Oh, for sure. But I guess without further ado, we should get into the fast side stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Oh, one thing did happen over the weekend that I forgot to talk about in our weekend recap segment. I got a call from my doctor.
Mm.
She said the flare-ups are back.
Shit.
She told me not to be alarmed, okay. That there's a really easy and safe cure for my RDH.
And that is?
Letting everyone know that today's episode is brought to you by Simplify. A lot is up in the air right now, especially when it comes to our personal finances. So much of how we've changed spending, so much of how we spend money has changed. I know a lot of us are ordering in more. We're ordering groceries. We're not going out to dinner. We're not going out to bars. And a lot of our finances are changing, and there's a lot of uncertainty. So it's never been a better time to start planning your financials. Because whether you're anticipating a major life change like a wedding or a move, or you just want to get a jump start on planning the future, Simplify makes it easy to track your spending so you can budget smarter. After trying dozens of apps, the New York Times Wirecutter picked Simplify by Quicken as the best budgeting app because it doesn't make you choose between simple and effective. You can start healthier financial habits and achieve your long-term goals with Simplify. They make it easy to see the big picture, stay on top of your spending, and save like a pro. You can say goodbye to surprise charges from subscriptions you forgot you signed up for. Such an important.
Yes.
That is, I'm the queen of just like pressing yes and then forgetting that my 7-week trial, you know, was over.
Mm-hmm.
So apps like this really help you stay really organized when it comes to subscriptions. They make it easy to monitor all of your spending so you're never in the dark. Simplify is all about balancing today and tomorrow. Other financial apps primarily track what's already happened in the past, but Simplify helps you get personalized tips, insights to help develop a healthy long-term habit and stay on top of your finances now and in the future. They focus on insights, not input, because other financial apps feel like they guilt you for not meeting your goals, but there's no judgments with Simplify. They won't overwhelm you with every dollar that you're off by. You can see why the New York Times Wirecutter is calling Simplify by Quicken the best budgeting app out there. Start your 30-day free trial of Simplify today when you download the app or visit simplifymoney.com. Spelling is S-I-M-P-L-I-F-I money.com. If you want to start your 30-day free trial of Simplify today, download the app or visit simplifymoney.com. come check it out. You know, these are uncertain times. Your financials should not be uncertain.
Love it. Sign on. Get your financials in order.
Yeah. Sign on. Simplify.
First story, a little follow-up to last week's story, but Demi Lovato is completely embarrassed, rightly so, by Max Eric's behavior after their breakup.
One word. What am I going to say? My favorite word.
Loser.
That, but disgrace.
Oh, for sure.
This is a disgrace.
Demi Lovato is ready to move on after fiancé Max Eric showed his true colors this weekend. Following the news of their split, Max took to social media to reveal in since-deleted Instagram posts that allegedly learning of their breakup through a, quote, tabloid. Soon thereafter, a source told E! That the actor was lying about such claims. Additionally, he accused Demi of allowing him to be bullied by her fans. He then asked, please stop trying to thank you next me, a reference to Ariana Grande's breakup song.
He's too invested in pop culture.
But if Max was trying to win the pop star back, these social media posts are not doing him any favors. A source exclusively tells E! News, Demi wants no contact with Max at this point. She's completely embarrassed at the way he's been acting and putting their relationship on blast via social media. She wants nothing to do with him.
So there were also other Instagram stories that he left up.
Yeah.
And let me read you some of them.
Please do.
This is just like a notepad moment where he just typed out some text. To this moment, we haven't spoken over the phone. We haven't even officially ended anything to each other. Literally. I'm here in real time with y'all.
Is he trying to say they're still engaged?
Wait.
And this is how you're gonna act?
I'm about to really blow your mind. I'm here in real time with y'all. I love Demetria and just want her to be healthy and safe. That's the first one. I just have to say, like, people who call their significant others, like, by their full names, just, like, to kind of like stake a claim on them. Yeah. But the girls do it all the time. It's like, Benjamin. It's like, his name is Ben. You know, I've literally never called Ben Benjamin like one time, even when I was angry. I hate when people do that. And he's doing that like, Demetria.
No, Zach has never called me Jacqueline in my life. Right. I don't even think he knows that that's my name.
100%. So it's like, I just fucking hate when girls do that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Andrew David Romanoff III, get in here. Yeah. Okay, here's another one. If you're reading this, I love you always. Unconditionally, no matter what. Next one. He's listening to Don't Forget, Demi's best song, and he screenshotted the Spotify. I have respected and loved Demetria since I was 15, and my friend Samara, who recently passed away, took me to her concert. There's just so much going on. I don't even know where to unpack. There's another one.
There was also the one where he said, like, don't thank you next to me. Like, I have a job to do. Like, there's people relying on me with, like, families and
kids. No. Complex. Okay. Here's another one. He's listening to Get Back from Demi Lovato's album, Don't Forget. Demetria is the best female vocalist alive, and everyone should know it.
And we, by the way, we know that. Don't worry.
Then he's listening to Catch Me, also a great song. She inspires me every day and is an incredible human being. I know it's not her writing these stories. It's a machine. I love her unconditionally. Demetria, I love you always and forever. The Demetria, I honestly forgot that that was her real name.
Me too. This is so wild.
Another one. He's listening to Anyone by Demi Lovato. Give Demetria the Grammy she deserves, all caps. Thanks, smiley face.
Oh my God.
And then finally, he encourages everyone to stream her new song, Okay to Not Be Okay. That's what, like, her Instagram is like full of promo for that. It's like not even anything to do with Max, which I'm sure is driving him insane. He goes, go stream hashtag Okay to Not Be Okay. The lyrics are incredible. Her voice is impeccable. Keep it at number one forever. It's what Demetria deserves. I love you. I literally can't just...
Okay, here's the thing. Like, he's not wrong about these things.
No, of course not. She does deserve a Grammy. This is
so
crazy.
Imagine breaking up with your... There's so many things to imagine here. Imagine breaking up with your fiancé and then, like, going and listening to all of their music as, like, your breakup playlist.
That's depressing, yeah.
Imagine. This is the part that I can't get over. Like, this guy is the definition of a thirst monster. Like, star fucker... Like
social climber,
and he wound up engaged
to like a major pop star,
to a major A-list forever pop star.
Yeah,
and he blew it. Like, I understand why he's this mad. All of his hard work, his whole life is
people like that don't
flames.
People like that don't get as far as they do, and then only to fuck it up at the engagement.
No, so that's like so crazy, and so now like all of this is like his star fucking colors like coming out, you know. And he's at the end of the day like just a stan.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day he also, whatever his motives were, like I think he also truly wants to be a star himself, and it must be difficult to go with living with one of the most famous women in the world, like the planes, the trains, the cars, like all the fancy stuff, and now he's like back to flying coach, you know?
Yeah.
That's probably, at least for me, like that would be the hardest, like adjusting back to normal life.
Well, Yeah, I totally agree. I'm so glad that Demi got out of there and that now she's embarrassed. So, like, there's no chance of her going back.
No.
Like, there's no regret or should I have, like, what if? Because now she knows, like, what he is. And that's really, he's just a stan.
This relationship, though, like, as much as I love Demi, like, will be a shit stain on her record for a really long time.
Give her a break.
I'm trying.
I'm willing to forgive and forget.
I don't know. I'm trying, but it's... I don't know how we got here, you know?
I know. You know what? I feel like we're going to get, like, a documentary or an episode of, like, American Greed one day about this
how
guy.
How he swindled her.
How he swindled her.
Yeah.
And I think it's just really interesting, like, how you can go from stan to fiancé.
You know, it's inspiring for all the stans, like, out there.
A Hallmark movie.
You'd love to see it.
From stan to fiancé. Beautiful. Okay, well, Demi, do what from you got to do.
From fan to family.
Oh, yeah. I guess that makes it sound too nice, though.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, another crazy story. Kyle Richards' alleged ring thief says it wasn't her.
This is such a weird series of events. I still have so many questions about this story, and I just love how TikTok, of course, played a part in it.
Okay, so Diana French is a retired pharmacy clerk from LA who went viral. Well, her hands did after, for some strange reason, actress Diane Keaton shared a photo of her hands, calling Diana's black nails too much and claiming she's a fortune teller.
Well, that is the strangest thing.
Yes.
Diane Keaton took a picture of a random woman's manicured hands because she just thought they were interesting. She was wearing a lot of rings and big, long
really
black
long
fingernails.
Nails, yeah.
And so she took a picture of it, put on her Instagram, and said that the woman was a fortune teller. And we know now the woman, Wendy, is a pharmacist.
Okay. Anyway, Kyle Richards saw Diane Keaton's post and believed she recognized one of the rings Diana was wearing as her mom's stolen ring, which got swiped back in December 2017 when Kyle and her husband's home was hit by burglars, which we all know.
That was a crazy time. Teddy Mellencamp had just done the security
in the home.
It was strange.
And she was in Aspen. After Diana went viral for all the wrong reasons, her granddaughter took to TikTok to clear her name. She also defended herself by going on Inside Edition with even more proof the ring belongs to her, including old photos of her wearing it and the original appraisal from 40 years ago. Kyle had gone public with her search for the stolen ring, but to be fair, she never accused the woman of theft. Mm-hmm. She thought she might have purchased the ring from a pawn shop and was going to offer to buy it back from her. So
yeah,
it seems like the fortune teller slash pharmacy clerk is in the clear, but now she's waiting on an apology from Kyle Richards and Diane Keaton.
I think she'll be waiting quite some time. I don't know if she's necessarily deserving of an apology. Let me tell you why. One, she was never named. It was just a pair of hands. Nobody knew that it was, like, Diane from, you know, North Carolina. Like, nobody accused her of anything. And Kyle did not accuse her. She thought, like, when her stuff was stolen, it was sold onto the black market, somehow made its way into a pawn shop. And, like, she never accused this woman of stealing anything. So, first of all, she's not getting an apology. I don't know if she necessarily even deserves one. And the granddaughter is actually the one who put the target on her grandmother's back by letting everyone know, oh, this is my grandma. Her name is blah. The story is very confusing for a multitude of reasons. One, Diane Keaton and the pharmacist's name is Diana. One. Two, Diane Keaton said it was a fortune teller and the woman claims she's not a fortune teller. She is a pharmacist. Like, that is the most confusing part.
Yeah, but maybe she has a side gig.
Her granddaughter said, like
Twyla in Cafe Tropical trying to raise money for a new dishwasher.
Yeah, but her granddaughter said she's not a fortune teller.
Well, maybe she doesn't tell her granddaughter everything.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe, yeah.
This is such a crazy turn of events because, like, I just, when I first saw the story, I was like, oh my God, Kyle Richards found her ring. Like,
me too.
Period.
I thought it was 100% it.
And that we were going to, like, they were going to trace the ring back and find the burglars and she'd get all her Birkins back.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom's jewelry. But no, just like a stranger turn of events. It's like two women have this ring.
At least. But I guess, like, this woman's grandmother and Kyle Richards' mom were probably of the same-ish age. And, like, these rings were maybe, like, trendy and being sold at some place, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, not that crazy that they would have the same ring.
No, it's not that crazy at all. It's just a crazy story.
It is.
And you know what? If she was good at her job, she would have seen this one coming.
Oh, shit. You're right.
Yeah.
Also, I would love to hear from Diane Keaton, like, how she got dragged into this mess.
Yeah.
That's what you get for, like, going around and taking pictures of people's hands, Diane.
Yeah, but, like, she posed for the picture, so when she saw it come up.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a picture, like, Diane found on Pinterest. Like, she was looking for nail inspo.
Yeah. The picture didn't scream Pinterest, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. Anyways, what a crazy, weird story.
Very strange. Like, the converging of lots of different worlds.
Yeah. Okay, next up, very exciting. Mariah Carey spills all on overbearing marriage to Tommy Mottola, sneaking around with Derek Jeter, and more in new memoir.
I will 100%. be reading this book.
Mariah Carey's memoir comes out this month. It's called The Meaning of Mariah Carey. And she apparently, allegedly, is telling all. This lead up to her book is giving me very much Jessica Simpson open book, like press tour vibes. Mm-hmm. And they're going to suck me in. I'm going to read it and it's going to change my life. And I'm so excited.
I'm excited because I, you know what I've been ready to do for a while? I've been ready to stan Mariah Carey. Like, mm-hmm. I've never gotten there because I love her, adore her, but I've never been like a huge, huge, huge fan. And I think this book could bring me there.
And I'm ready to get a better understanding
of the Mariah. Meaning of Mariah.
Right, totally. And this article is like some of the biggest, you know, bombshells from the book. And if you want, I'll share them. But if we're both going to read it, like, maybe we should experience them on our own.
Okay, I mean, I'm fine with that. I really, like...
So this story is mostly just to let you know that the book is almost here.
Yeah, and whenever people ask me, like, what my favorite genre of book is, like, I don't know how to explain, like, that it's this. It's
celebrity open book by... memoir, but a lot of tell-all.
Right, see, a lot of celebrities have written books, and sometimes they're, like... attempting to be like aspirational or like storytelling in a nonfiction kind of way. I love a tell-all. I love a juicy gossip open book, Andy Cohen diaries, Brandy Glanville books. Like, this I have a feeling is going to be sensational. And I know Mariah, she worked with like the best writer ever, and I just can't wait.
Yes, she worked with Michaela Angela Davis on the book.
Oh, she's not pretending she wrote it.
No, and I think, like, I'm sure it went down like most celebrity books go down, like where they do it together.
Yeah, but most celebrities like have a ghostwriter and they pay them and you don't know that.
Yeah, but I think we know. Like, I...
Well, of course.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. This is exactly what I would...
Picture
is that she's sharing her story. Someone else is helping her write it. And we're going to get the best possible book out of it.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
And we're going to get a bestseller out of it for sure.
Oh, I mean, yeah, for sure. I'm really excited. I got it. Queued up on my Kindle.
Oh, I'm going to buy a hard copy.
Oh, very nice.
Because I support the book industry.
Okay, cool. So we'll save the bombshells.
But I didn't even know she dated Derek Jeter.
I know. So it's going to be like all this good...
So we just reported on this story just to withhold the facts from you.
No, we reported on this story because we haven't spoken about this book yet.
Yeah.
And I remember in the lead up to Jessica Simpson's book, there was literally a story every single day, which was enjoyable. But since we both wound up reading the book, it would have been nice to just enjoy them. So this story is just to let you know the book is coming. I need to get the exact date, but it is October. So
that's like so soon. October is this weekend.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
God. That's crazy. What's crazy.
What a waste of a year.
What? Jeez. Totally.
Like a just complete and total wash.
Total wash.
I thought this was going to be like one of the best years of my life.
Yeah. Like, well, you know what? For me, it's like, I feel like every other year is like a good year. Like, not bad year, I want to say, but like great year, year. And 2019 was such a great year.
It was amazing.
And then I was like, and things were looking good for 2020. So I was like, there's no way that 2020 could like top it because that's just not how like life goes for me. Mm-hmm. And look.
You're right, actually. So
2021 is going to be it. Like, I swear. I know everyone's like waiting for 2021. Oh, wow. But I just like, I guess the odd number of years, I just. Okay.
That works for me.
I feel.
Works for me.
Okay. Next story. Very exciting news. Every day is like new, either pregnancy news, baby news.
Yeah.
Birthing news. Today's news. Game of Thrones stars Kit Harington and Russ Leslie are pregnant with their first child.
Russ Leslie
is pregnant.
Oh my God. That's amazing. And also this weekend, Sophie Turner finally posted some pregnancy pics of her that Joe had taken when she was pregnant. She looked amazing.
And Jackson Brittany had their gender reveal.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. We had the Vanderbump girls all together.
So Lala's having a girl.
Stassi's having a girl and Brittany's having a boy.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Really,
gonna fight over him.
Yeah. I mean,
that's so cute.
It's very, very sweet.
So Russ Leslie
is pregnant with her first child.
Beautiful.
Jon Snow's bebe.
Do you think she just walks around thinking like, I got Jon Snow? Like, that's what I would do. I would wake up in the morning and be like, Jon Snow's mine, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she's excited. And I feel as though he's excited too because, like, Ygritte was really OTP for him. You know, he never really bounced back.
No, he didn't. Like, that was the wildling that stole his heart.
He tried to date his aunt, but it didn't go over well.
Think of how desperate he was. Like, he was so, you know, heartbroken from Ygritte that he actually fell into the arms of his aunt.
Of
like,
of your auntie.
That's how you know he was so sad.
To go from Russ to your auntie, right,
I'm Theo? So happy for
Theo,
us.
I say to my nephew, Theo, get over here.
Theo, can you come here?
Hi,
come.
Cutes.
Come.
Hi, cutes.
You look so beautiful. Come.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is just like a great story. I miss the days where we would talk about Game of Thrones every single day.
No, those recaps were like so funny. Finger in the bum, like.
Yeah. But, you know, now we have other things like fifth and final story that'll lead us into a TV recap because we both finished Schitt's Creek. The real Schitt's Creek Motel will soon be up for sale.
The Rosebud Motel?
Yes. It's a no-frills small-town motel that a family moves into after losing their wealth. And soon this television-famous property can be your own. The property...
It's on a set?
No, the property that plays the role of the Rosebud Motel, at least the outside of it, on Schitt's Creek, is poised to hit the market soon.
Wow.
Yes, it'll be up for sale next month, the owner told the press. The
you asking know who price, should buy it?
Who?
The Rosebud Motel Property Group.
You know what I was thinking? Okay, so like this is interesting and cool, but and let's just get into our...
Yeah, it's just a gateway
into
for
into our recap of Schitt's Creek. But I was actually thinking that the Rosebud Motel Group was such a great idea, and that really is something that hasn't, you know, the motels haven't really been monopolized and treated as boutique hotels, and they really are such like a staple, you know.
And it's a small town experience.
Yeah, and it really can be. And I think that like their pitch was an incredible idea, and I actually think that Eugene Levy, which is like what I'm realizing their last name is pronounced
as. It's not Levy, yeah.
It's not Levy, and so that's going to be a hard transition for me, but I'll try. Eugene Levy and Dan Levy, or maybe like anyone in their family, should take this up and like go out there and make Rosebud Motels like the Hilton of motels. Like that could be, you know, the next act for them.
And
like,
it would have all started from the show.
And they would be billionaires. And then the show would just be amazing marketing.
Yeah.
For Rosebud Motel Group.
Let's talk about the actual final season because I just loved it. I don't know if I loved it so much because I was just relishing like these are my final Moira Rose moments. But she was just on another level. My absolute favorite part of like where I was like actually laughing out loud was when they went to the new hotel and like they loved that presidential suite and like Moira really wanted to move in there, so she was doing everything she could to make their current room like look like shit, like she couldn't fit through the door frame and she fell on him. She was being so funny. Like I enjoyed the season so much, but I really enjoyed Moira. Like she is why we tune in.
Yeah. And knowing that they swept at the Emmys for the final season made sense because this show has just been like this little gem. But the final season was like everything that was great about all the seasons wrapped up into one. So it's not like they just won because the whole show is good. Like the last season was really everyone at their best.
Yes.
I loved it so much. I actually started watching because I hadn't watched the season finale from last season. And when they did Cabaret.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And the show was phenomenal. Yep. And you saw everyone in the audience was like, and I felt like that was like the epitome of Schitt's Creek, where it's like everything is a piece of shit, but then it comes together and it's actually like kind of nice.
Yeah.
And when like Patrick and Stevie and like Alexis were like in Cabaret, I literally had chills up my like spine because it's like it starts as such a joke in the town hall, but it came together so wonderfully.
I loved Alexis, and I feel like this was like a hard season for her. She like just couldn't get her life together.
Yeah, I mean, she really had to learn how to stand on her own 2 feet. And even though I ship Alexis and Ted,
me
too. I don't know that I loved that journey for them. I liked where she ended up. I liked where all the characters ended up. I think it was so good. And I'm really glad that I watched it. It made the day go by pretty quickly. And I'm glad I finally watched it because with all the Emmy accolades, hype, I was able to put it all into context. Mm-hmm. And did you watch the episode that was like the Best Wishes?
No.
So you know how Game of Thrones like did that documentary about right. like the last season? They did something similar.
Cute.
And so you got a lot of like the backstory behind everyone's casting and you know what the last season meant to them and how much this show has just like had this like cult following and grown like just from being like a small Canadian comedy right. show to being like completely mainstream.
It's crazy, by the way, that like how far they've come when like they literally exist on a channel like most people don't have or they've never even heard of.
Yeah, but they were... It's all so deserving. And to talk about like how they saw the show in their heads and, you know, I just watch a show and I don't think about what they're trying to do,
right.
but everything that they were trying to do just completely worked.
Yeah. When it comes to casting, did they address in their little...
Why the daughter wasn't Alexis?
Why Twyla's character wasn't played... No, why Alexis's character wasn't played by the girl who played Twyla? Because most people actually haven't figured out that Eugene Levy's son is Dan and his daughter is Twyla. A lot of people actually think Alexis is his daughter.
Yeah. So they did not address that. And that to me is something that just like sticks out. They said that they had a hard time casting Alexis. They saw like 100 different actresses before they met Annie Murphy and just like liked what she brought to the table. And so I don't know why Twyla, like because Twyla wound up being in every single episode. So like, why couldn't she be Alexis? That does feel like an elephant in the room.
Yeah, and then also they had this like mini Emmys party and like Twyla wasn't there.
Really?
Yeah. He.
Are you sure?
Eugene Levy, I watched his speech. He thanked like his daughter who wasn't there.
Oh, interesting. I thought that was Annie Murphy who wasn't there, and then she accepted her award, and I was like, but she is here.
No, Annie Murphy was there. Everyone was there. Patrick was there. Yeah.
Ronnie was there.
I want to talk about the wedding. Like,
Did you cry?
No. I was sobbing because I was also hysterically laughing at Moira. Like, when she entered the room in that Pope outfit, like, she's just too much. And then her weird inflections, like, she was honestly being too much. Like, I was so overwhelmed with emotion, I didn't know whether to cry or laugh, but like, I thought it was so sweet when the jazzy gals started singing. It was breathtaking. I was like,
the motherfucking jazzy gals.
The motherfucking jazzy gals. And that's the name of today's episode.
What's so amazing about the jazzy gals is they literally rehearsed so much throughout all the seasons.
And you could tell. Yeah,
we never really got to listen to them, but it felt like an episode of Glee. I was waiting for them to start singing Bruno Mars.
100%.
I
think I want to marry you.
Yeah, because that's like the vibe I was getting.
Me too.
And they wound up singing that song that Patrick sang.
You're simply the best.
Yes, and it was so good. I started crying when Alexis and David were walking down the aisle.
Me too.
I was like, I don't know, I was just like so emotional. And then when Roland was like, they look like husband and wife. Groom. And Eugene was like, they do.
Yeah, wait,
it was just like the perfect encapsulation of what Schitt's Creek is. It's like so funny. These two people look like husband and wife, their brother and sister. And it's also so emotional.
Yeah.
It's Schitt's Creek.
I was hysterically laughing when Alexis, like right before they walked out, she's like, David, it's dawned on me that this is a wedding dress.
Yeah.
And she was just being so funny. And I really felt like that wedding scene and that episode in particular, but really like the wedding scene was perfect television. Like it was the perfect formula for how to make a TV show end in like such a meaningful way. I did have one gripe with the ending, which was like, okay, we've seen them like at their lowest for so long. Could we, I'm getting choked up.
Could we see them?
Could we get 2 minutes devoted to like them? I would like to see Moira thriving again. Like, I would like to see Alexis living in New York. I would like to see the house that Patrick and David moved into. Like, I would have liked 5 years from now when it's like they all come back for Thanksgiving at David's, you know, like something.
Well, I actually think they left it open to a reboot. Like, soon later, they could bring the show back in like 3 years. Yeah. And it would be so well done, because I think with David and Patrick still being there and the apothecary, like, you could even have like new people who moved to Schitt's Creek and then them be like sort of background characters.
Employees. I think Twyla bought the cafe.
Yeah. Alexis could always like move back in 5 years after she's like made her mark and be with Ted. And maybe Moira and Eugene want to retire and they retire at Schitt's Creek. Mm. Like,
and they build a big house.
And they build a big house. So I think that the way that they left it, that they ended it, was perfect, because it was just like this moment in time for this family to come together and realize what's important in life. And that's what the show is about, of like this family finding their way back to each other. And now that they're out of Schitt's Creek, we're not going to follow them. The show is Schitt's Creek. But I don't know, something about them ending it after 6 seasons when it was like at the height of its popularity is really an interesting choice. And they talk about that in the like documentary sort of thing.
Right. I've heard David say like most shows don't get the option to go out on their own. They're either canceled or it's like the ratings drop. No one really gets to write their own ending. It's always like timing just like shoves them out.
Yeah. Or like they drag it out so long they kind of ruin it.
Yeah.
So it's this perfect gem of a show that
is perfect.
Yeah, and they're not like dragging out how long they're living there for. You know, there was a time in like seasons 3 and 4 or whatever where it was like, oh, these people live here now. Like, they're never going
to
leave.
And the goal is not still to get their money back and move back to New York or LA.
Yeah, and then I realized like David like bought a store here. He can't just leave. Like, some of them have roots here. Some of them don't. So I think them eventually getting, and I think it shows like Johnny Rose is like such a great businessman that he can do it again.
Yep.
That he has all this business prowess. And
his book.
His book. I can't. But I think it ended really perfectly while also leaving it open to be picked back up in some point in time. And also like Victor Garber just being in the final season was just
everything of the sort. Annoying that it's not on Netflix yet. Like, I don't know how most Americans are watching it. Like, I had to watch it on my Spectrum app with commercials, and it was the same 3 commercials. Like, I was literally going, it was driving me up a wall. Like, Trulicity and Southwest Airlines. Like, it was the same 2 commercials multiple times an episode.
Larry Ayer.
It wasn't for Larry Ayer.
That was so funny. Like,
Larry Ayer is rural juror.
And also, Erberlinger.
Erberlinger. Oh, and by the way, he made another return too. Yeah. That episode was so
that
funny.
Was that, like, the Erberlinger episode was when I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And Moira, in the beginning, I like didn't understand Moira, obviously, because she's hard to
unpack.
She's so multifaceted. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, oh my God, this woman. And the documentary thing sort of answered our questions about, is Moira Catherine O'Hara? Is Catherine O'Hara Moira? And I think
it's a character.
It's a character for sure. But Moira would not have been who she was if she wasn't played by Catherine O'Hara. Like, they said that Catherine O'Hara brought the wigs and brought the accents and gave this woman like a personality that hadn't been like fully fleshed out in character development.
I will watch that little documentary. It sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it was really cute.
So like sad that it's over.
I'm glad that I watched the final season though, because it's not something you should leave open-ended. Like, it is just a perfect moment in time show, and it should be watched from beginning to end.
Agreed. And not be sad about it, because it really is, like, it's untouched. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Now we're going to dive into our official TV recap segment, where we recap Real Housewives of Potomac, which was on Sunday. We didn't get to recap it yesterday because of Yom Kippur. And just a reminder that the TV recap segment is brought to you by our favorite new brand of CBD, New X. New X's mission is to provide their customers with the highest quality products at a reasonable price. With years of experience in sourcing, manufacturing, and development, their goal is to make CBD accessible to the masses. We never sacrifice quality, and all of our products are natural, pure, and tested. So my favorite product from New X and just CBD in general is CBD gummies, but I find it really hard to find a good brand of CBD gummies because they're not always super well made, and you never know how much CBD like dosage is actually in each gummy within the pack. Mm-hmm. So the New X ones are great because they have like they're super great tasting. They're actually delicious. They have 15 milligrams of broad spectrum CBD per gummy. They're vegan and they're made with all natural ingredients. They have no artificial colors, flavors, sweeteners, and they are THC free. They're perfect for people who want a fun and easy way of taking CBD or have never taken CBD before and maybe just want to dip their toe in the pond. And it's a consistent dose every time, which is really I think the biggest selling point. The CBD gummies are $9.99, which is a really good price. They also come in different variations of CBD products. They have shots, which is like 150 milligrams of caffeine and energy blend with CBD. So it's perfect to take in the morning. Those are also vegan, non-GMO. They come in the mango flavor. They're really, really good. I actually keep one in my purse pretty much at all times. It's a great alternative to coffee. I don't drink coffee, so CBD is a blessing. And those are only $4.99. So I feel like New X is a great company, one, because they just have a broad range of products for CBD, and it's really reasonably priced without like compromising the quality of the taste or the actual CBD. If you want to check it out, visit newx.com, which is nu-x.com, to purchase some of their great products. You can use the discount code TOAST for 20% off for a limited time. So that's newx.com. Use the code TOAST for 20% off for a limited time. Check it out. It's fabulous.
Sign on. Get your CBD.
Okay, so Real Housewives of Potomac, kind of, this was the episode.
This was the big episode.
And I want it to be said before I like start complaining about other parts of the episode, like my jaw was legitimately on the floor. Like, I knew there was a fight, and Bravo always hypes things up, but like this was actually underhyped. Like, I couldn't believe I was watching and the fight was still going on. Yeah,
and she still had her hand in her hair.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you. It was like a big fight and not overstated, but then on the other hand, I feel so many different ways about this fight, and I was reading a lot of tweets and like different opinions about it. On the other hand, like, it was hair pulling and glass throwing, mm-hmm. which is standard for Housewives.
We've had it in the Housewives. Not yes. Standard. It's always a big deal when it happens, but it's not uncommon.
Yeah, not uncommon. Like, not a bigger fight than anything that we've ever seen. But just last season, like, Danielle Staub and Margaret Josephs had like a very similar sort of fight.
Yes. But to me, this one seemed to last longer.
Yeah, I get. Like, the other one was, like, more like, yeah,
actually,
separated.
This Margaret Josephs one was also one of the worst I had seen.
Yeah, that was, yeah. But they it was glass throwing and hair pulling.
And hair pulling, you're right. Know? And so, that was a fucking wild hair pull. Yeah. That Danielle stabbed. Like, honestly, unacceptable.
Yeah. So, it was crazy. Obviously, you know, everyone is upset with Monique because they feel that she started it. She made it physical.
Candace definitely provoked her verbally.
Yeah. Did you see the video that I sent you?
I did, and I had already seen it. People are really slowing down.
People are dissecting this fight to
There's
see
so much going
who
on.
Who put hands on who first.
Because the two of them are going at it. Wendy's trying to stop it. Robin and Giselle are trying to stop it. So there's so many hands flying.
Even before
The fight starts.
Yeah.
It's like in this one moment where it's like the dime flips and it's like really the fight starts. Everyone happens to just get involved at the same moment. And it's hard to see who put, I mean, in my opinion, Monique started it because she was flipping her hair, which is not technically a fight, but you can't touch someone.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So she's flipping her hair. And then Candace pulls her vest.
Yeah.
Which makes it a little bit more of like an aggressive fight. And then Monique goes wild. So
yeah.
It's like, where does the fight start?
Yeah. So if just watching the episode, I was like, okay, Monique started it. But then watching a slowdown video, she starts with the hair flip, but Candace put her hand on like her body first. And then
worst of it all was when Monique had Candace's hair and was just going at it. Yeah. Like I couldn't believe it. Like,
but then also Candace throwing the glass in her face and her lip is bleeding.
Yeah.
So it was just, and it was just so crazy that big of a fight started from the conversation that was had, which was like...
Nothing crazy.
And I also was reading more, and people are convinced that there's obviously more to this fight than just Candace inviting Charisse to a party. And from what I understand, Candace was like aware of the rumors that Charisse was starting, and it wasn't just that Monique...
Slept with her trainer.
There's a lot of things. It was that Monique's baby, the baby that she just had, is not Chris's. It was that she didn't have a miscarriage a few seasons ago. She had an abortion. And just like these really damaging rumors about her family. And not so just bigger than...
Right. Well, that makes sense because things aren't adding up.
Yeah. And I saw this video where Candace explains like sort of what these rumors, and then at the dinner table when they were having that party for Ashley, she pretends like she didn't really know that there was so much beef between Monique and Charisse. All I'm saying is that, again, I don't think that we're getting the entire story because that was a disproportionate reaction to the fight that we think that they're having.
Yeah, but we can only dissect what we're given. And even though she's not always my favorite, Robin just like really summed it up perfectly. She's like, Candace is annoying as hell and she runs her mouth, but Monique is wrong. Like, regardless if we're dissecting the fight, it's very clear that Monique was the one who took it way too far. Like, she was the one who needed to be, you know, held back. The producers locked her in a room and they got Candace out. And it pains me to say it because I am team Monique. But she was wrong. She was wrong.
She wasn't right.
She was not right. She wasn't right.
I'm struggling with this one.
I know.
You know?
And I'm sure there's more to it. But we have to dissect what we've been given.
That there is more to it. I think that Candace... is so annoying.
And sneaky. I agree. And she puts on...
And she's literally like this... They're, you know, so close to each other. And she's like, drag me.
And she did. No, but there's just like... Candace is definitely annoying. She's a pageant girl. Like, she puts on a face. And she's definitely sneaky and whatever. And I mean, and I just hated this episode because it made me feel bad for Candace. Like, she really got hurt.
Yeah.
And those fists to the head.
The rest of the episode was strange because it was clear that the women would not film with each other, and everybody sort of needed to cool off after the fight and figure out, you know, where do we go from here. And next week it looks like there's a sitting down and Candace isn't going to attend. And the other women are like to Monique, like pretty much like, we don't want to work with you anymore. And we can't be associated with this.
Yeah.
Which I'll have to see in context. I just think that's a bit extreme, you know?
I don't know. I feel like the Real Housewives of Potomac take their jobs really, really seriously as like really powerful, strong Black women. And I think they probably felt like this was like a step down and they don't want to be associated. They take their roles as like role models really, really seriously. And I feel like Karen Huger and Giselle are like kind of like the oldest and wisest in the group. And they really feel strongly about like staying above the fray. And I kind of agree with them.
I agree with that too. But then I was watching some clips on Twitter where people were like showing instances where like Giselle and Robin, when they showed up at Ashley's restaurant and like were saying that they literally showed up to her place of business like while it was open and like saying they're going to drag her over the river and through the woods. And it's like,
right. And no, it's honestly like moral relativism. Like, we're saying this is bad, but like we've done bad stuff too.
Yeah. And so I think that I want to see just, you know, Monique just apologize. Like, obviously, I don't move past it. And I don't know how and if they can get past it. I do think that they can. But I feel like next week's conversation, like, if Monique it seems as though she's not remorseful, but I don't want to judge it based on the preview.
Agreed.
So I'll have to see what happens from there, but it was just, I also feel like there's something they're not telling us.
Yeah, of course. And that's kind of been like a theme throughout certain Housewives this season. Like in New York, there was a lot they weren't telling us about Tinsley and Dorinda, and it's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Don't make us guess. Like, yeah, we're investing an hour a week in the show. Like, give us the full story.
Just because something didn't happen on camera, like, doesn't mean you can't
talk about
it, explain it, bring it up, talk about it, and then integrate it into the storyline. Mm-hmm. You know?
The rest of the episode was a little bit boring. I did think that it really was very interesting not to see like Giselle's trip to Atlanta, but her dad.
Yeah, that was the other really
big thing.
I
kind of loved him. Like, I'm the same way. It's like, all right, I'll say I like it to your face, but like when I leave, I'm just going to like say how I really feel, you know?
Yeah, but I think also he was trying to make it work, mm-hmm, and he just was fed up. And that was so crazy when he was like hot mic'd.
But it was like he had the wherewithal. Like, people who aren't on reality TV every day like don't understand how mics work, and they think if you say something bad, they'll just take it out. Like, he had the understanding to get up off camera, have them take his mic off, but couldn't wait 5 seconds for his mic to be actually off, yeah, to start talking shit.
Right. And like for them to ask Giselle how many children does, mm-hmm, he have, and then us to find out it's 6 to 7 is crazy.
I knew he had like children with other people. I didn't know it was 6 or 7.
No, yeah. I mean, how would we know? So
it's just a lot for any person.
Yeah, but watching the girls in the restaurant was awesome.
She has great daughters.
She has great daughters, and I thought that was just like a great scene for the family, and then it was also crazy.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So that was like a good pickup at the end of the episode, because there was a lot in the beginning, a little boring, like the post-snup and Karen's marriage problems. Get a real therapist. What was a radio host doing in your house as a therapist?
Like, so crazy. And when Ashley was like, you know, she's off the hook now.
Right.
With the Michael, like, she came in letting everyone know she had an open marriage.
And she thought it was going to be like her, like, everyone's going to come after her, ask her a million questions, and like, nobody cares.
And somehow the evening turned out not to be about her.
Yeah. I'm honestly, with every episode, like, really, my respect for Ashley is like,
I know,
all the way up here.
I know. Like, talk about open book, honest, owning it.
Housewife.
She is all of those
housewife
things. I totally agree.
So I'm looking forward to this conversation with Monique next week. And all in all, it was a good episode. I mean, that fight was just fucking crazy.
Yeah, it was. But I think we can come back from it.
I think we can too. Like, other franchises have come back from way worse.
Totally agreed.
So that's that on that. Anything else we want to say before we wrap up? Enjoy this next segment with Simon Huck. Again, if you're listening as a podcast, just keep listening. If you're on YouTube, go check it out. It was so funny. Like, maybe one of my, I mean, we haven't had a guest in like all year, but one of my favorites this year.
Totally.
And I think our only other guest this year was Simon.
No, we had a few. We had like Tyler C.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. But it was really, really, really funny. So check it out. Enjoy it.
Enjoy, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Welcome back to The Morning Toast. We are so excited for the first time in 8 months to have breathing, living human beings in our studio. And of course, it is friend of the toast, Simon Huck, and launching his new podcast with his co-host, Melissa Gray Washington. A little hyphen. We love a hyphen. Hi.
Hello. Hi. We're so excited to be here.
Thank you for being here.
This is so exciting for us.
Like, it feels really good. And the studio is so glam.
Simon has without the old studio, which everyone knows we were evicted. Big drama. But now we're here and we're
It's Simon approved?
No, it's very glam. High ceilings.
Simon approved. That's all that matters.
Great lighting.
Yeah, great lighting. Mm-hmm.
So last time you were here, you were owner of, you know, an entrepreneur of a fabulous, fabulous company. And now you are coming to us as a podcaster.
Yes.
You have lowered your bar.
No.
And you have joined us here in the podcast world.
No, it's really very high-low. No, we... So I started this company, Judy, which is an emergency preparedness brand.
Everyone knows.
Okay, so 2020 has been kind of this outrageous year. Yeah. So many emergencies. And Melissa has been my real-life ride-or-die emergency contact. And we wanted to do a podcast, but we didn't really know how to talk about emergencies,
right,
and also make it something that people wanted to listen to.
How do you two know each other?
Oh my God. So we met like 400 years ago in college. We were introduced by a mutual friend.
Simon, you went to college.
It's I know. Shocking.
Barely, believe me.
Where did you guys go?
We're Canadian. So we went to this school called Queens. No, McGill.
Everyone thinks
McGill. That's the only one.
Everyone thinks McGill, which is like, Queens has such bad branding because McGill is like chic, but Queens is like McGill, the Harvard of the North. Yeah. No, not even McGraw. I guess McGill
is McGraw like a textbook company. What's McGraw?
Yeah. Oh. I honestly, I had Morgan Stewart on my mind. And her
right.
Fiance.
So this is like Canada in a nutshell. Like, what's it
McGill,
called again?
McGill.
Anyway, so we went to college together and we met through a mutual friend, and we just like instantly fell in love. Mm-hmm. And then he hasn't been able to shake me since.
Right. And I was her maid of honor in her first wedding. Oh. And I hooked her up with her first husband, who was my roommate in college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, yes. So it's,
she's like, thanks for bringing that up.
No, she's always like, can you stop bringing that up? But I'm like, it is the reason. It's the genesis of our relationship.
You're right. You know what? You're right. It's a pretty like key part of the story.
Yeah. But,
so then, yeah, we moved to New York together around the same time. I moved before Cy. And then he moved like a few months later.
Well, and Melissa was studying public relations. And at the time, LOL. I was like, oh my God, I love Sex and the City. I want to be like my only...
Like everyone else.
Like yeah. everyone else. I was like Kim Cattrall's character. Right, like, how do I do that?
You yeah. did it.
But I didn't know what PR was. Right. And so Melissa's like, oh no, PR is not real. Like, you don't need to go to school for it. Trust me, I'm in school.
Right. Like, I'm in school, like, unfortunately, for PR.
And Melissa, I think you worked for like a travel PR company.
Yeah, it was not like glam, let me put it that way.
And then I like picked up the telephone and called Lizzie Grubman's office and got this free internship. And at the time, Jonathan Cheban, now known as the food god,
Don't disrespect him and use his old
No,
name.
I know.
How dare
I know,
you? How
dare I know. You. When I say John, he's John. Like, excuse me? And I'm like, are you well? No, the food god
is... Wait, is his first name food, last name god? So you have to be like, food or food
no,
god?
Full food god. No, yeah, you okay. cannot say food.
Okay, like so Madonna. No first and last.
Yeah. Like, Madonna. Mr. God. Podcast,
Mr. God.
100%. No, he's so not well, but I like in the best way.
Of
Love
course.
Him. Anyway, so that was kind of the genesis of our beginning of our relationship. And then we wanted to do a podcast on kind of Judy and emergency preparedness, but we couldn't think of an interesting, fun way to do it. And then we thought, wait a minute, what if we tried to find the relationship that we have in celebrities? Like, who is Khloe Kardashian's real life ride or die
Malika.
Emergency
kind?
Right. Malika. Like in that case, it's well known.
Yeah.
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 But in many other cases, it's not really well known.
Yes. Like Kim and Allison.
Totally.
Completely. Prime example.
That's a great guess
Perfect
for you.
Example.
And like people who like are there real, like there's so many Instagram friendships. Like you see like another celebrity's post. It's like, love you boo. But like, do you love them?
Right.
Like,
right. Do you even know each other?
Do you even know each other?
Right. Like we'll be the judge of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the concept is basically bringing on well-known people and like who is in their close personal circles, who is their quote unquote emergency contact.
Exactly. And we want to know what they were like kind of their pre glow up.
Yes, of course.
The pre fame. Yeah. And we've had such interesting guests.
We have.
Your really first funny. Episode is already out, right?
Yes.
With Tan France and his husband.
Yes.
Who were just incredible. I mean, Tan is like the most humble, sweetest, funniest human being alive. And his husband, I had not really spent a lot of time with. I mean, was he not just...
No, I might like him better than Tan.
Yeah.
No, like Tan France, everybody loves Tan France, right? Like world's nicest. But his husband, Rob, was so funny, so normal, so unaffected, so disinterested in like... fame.
Love.
I don't know. It was great.
Can't relate.
And brought Tan at a retirement. First of all, Tan retired at 35, which I was like, okay,
goals.
And he didn't want to do Queer Eye. And Rob was like, no, you have to give this a chance. Like, it could be a really big opportunity. And thank God he did it because we wouldn't have Tan right now.
Right. We have Rob to thank.
And so logistically, you live in Philadelphia, so you guys are podcasting via Zoom, which is very common in the age of Corona. Mm-hmm. How are you adjusting? I know you've done reality TV. Who could forget the Spin Crowd?
A lot of people. A lot of people have forgotten it, unfortunately.
Not us. I'll never forget.
No. Thank you.
You've conquered the world of reality TV. You've conquered the world of PR. You've conquered the world of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Now you've got to get into podcasting, which is actually not as easy as people think. Like, the audio is really fucking hard.
Nope,
like
beyond.
All you have to do is listen to one episode of our show to get that.
Like, how are you dealing?
I cannot get
how
my audio
dealing?
Right.
If you need advice, you could always come to us.
It's actually a lot of work. Like, people just think you, like, press record and suddenly... No. There's, like, briefing docs. Like, Melissa discovered what a Google Doc was. She had not heard of a Google Doc before.
Oh, wow. Did you die? No, I know. But it was great. My life pre-Google Docs was great. But now I just, like, I can never find it. I don't know, like, am I looking at it? Is someone else looking at it?
I agree.
I don't want anyone messing with my edits. Like, I want to send you a Word document, like, it's 1999, and have you send it back to me in green or red or
like
different color.
Track changes.
Yeah. Totally track changes. Google Docs, I'm just like, sigh, it just scares me.
I was like, it's a living, breathing document. She was like, excuse me?
It's like a Torah. It's alive.
It's,
like,
it's where is
freaky.
It? He's like, I don't know. It's like in Google somewhere. And I'm like, but where do I go? And he's like, get on Gmail.
I want to go off track really quickly and just point out, Melissa, that you are sitting with your purse, which I just love. Like,
oh my God.
Like the Queen Elizabeth vibes.
Should I have left it at the door?
No, it's just sorry. Like, I don't know. It's just like an interesting way to sit.
No,
is it? No, what am I doing wrong? Oh my God. This is like my first rodeo. Should I have like, I should have left it at the door. But you know what? It's here now.
No, I love
it. You're a beautiful person. Honestly, okay. When you have a beautiful purse, you should show it off as much as possible.
Oh, my God.
I just love
you.
That you're just, like, sitting with
and
it.
And it is, like, very prepared of you. So I would want my emergency contact to always have their purse.
I, like, have an RX car in here. You know.
She's actually, and I'm dying to ask you guys this, she is the least prepared person. We do a quiz on our show. And we ask, like, 20 questions.
Okay, what are some of
Melissa
questions?
Would be, like, 0 out of 0. Like, could not save a soul.
You fooled us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, what are some of the questions? How do we know if we're prepared?
Like, what do you do in the event of a fire on the upstairs floor of your home?
Grab my phone and take the elevator.
Precisely.
No, really, grab Theo and run down the stairs.
Right. Yeah. Like, just, like, basic preparedness information that most people don't know. Like, before Judy, I was the worst Judy. I didn't even know where my fire extinguisher was, and God forbid I had to use it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. Okay, and you just, like, a dumb question?
That, like, you know, your instincts kick in, and all of a sudden you know how to use a fire extinguisher.
Right. That's what you rely
on. So, in New York City, does every apartment have a fire extinguisher, or every floor?
So they recommend that every floor, so, like, even if you had 3 floors, like, even in your basement, you should have a fire extinguisher.
In your home?
In your home. Well, that's some people even do every room. Like,
those people are not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get...
No.
I don't
want to
jinx.
Yeah.
That's extreme.
So that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So do you feel like since starting the podcast with Simon, you've become more prepared? Like, you were 0, are you maybe now like a 2?
A little bit. Like, I could probably survive 24 hours, whereas before I was just going to be like a goner
right
out of the gate. Like, I didn't know that... In a fire, I can't even remember. We did like a fire quiz, and Simon was like, "No, you're actually going to go up in flames. I'm worried for you." Like, offline, he was like, "Mel, I want to talk to you about your fire preparedness plan." And I was like, "Oh my God, my plan is like nobody wait for my husband. Just like me and the kids will find our way."
Stop, drop, and roll. Everyone knows.
Yeah. I do feel. I feel because I went from like a place of like -10 on the knowledge scale. I feel pretty. Good now.
And we do like franchises. So like we just did Chloe and Malika and we did a tsunami franchise where we talked about like 15 things you needed to know about tsunamis and then quizzed them on it. And like,
what do you need to know?
Honestly, I didn't realize that United States, like we actually had tsunamis.
That's the first point.
Yeah.
The tsunamis exist in the U.S.
Yes.
Shocking.
There's this place in California called Crescent City. Oh my God, I hope that's the name. Please don't come for me.
I think it is.
And it is? Okay. And they have had 33 tsunamis since like the 1940s.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
That's terrible luck.
Yeah. And just like learning about how to prepare for them.
And okay, so Simon, in the age of coronavirus, where we're all kind of being prepared on another level, what are 3 things nobody should leave their house without?
You should leave their home or have in your home?
Both.
Okay. Inside your home, you should have food and water for up to 72 hours.
Okay.
You should have a first aid kit and you should have an emergency plan. And the emergency plan is free. Like, you should know, how do I exit out of my apartment?
Right.
You know, what is the, have I checked my smoke detector, my carbon monoxide detector? Like, basic information. Where should we meet? Having in a meeting spot. Right. Also, a communication strategy. Like, if you have kids who are of the age where they have a cell phone, like, what do they do when the Wi-Fi goes out or they lose their cell service? Like, so many people in the event of emergencies, they do this thing called milling where they don't believe an emergency is real. Like, if I knew a tsunami was coming or a fire was coming, a wildfire was coming, they don't actually, like, listen.
Mm-hmm.
They wait and they're like, did you hear there's an evacuation warning?
Right.
And Jackie's like, Claudia, I'm not going until it, like, I hear from another person. And suddenly you're like, hello, we told you to evacuate.
It's so unbelievable. Some of the things that are happening year.
This year, especially, like, even with COVID, like, how many of us had conversations with our friends where we're like, this isn't real.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm taking it that seriously.
Well, that's why we've been loving this new season of The Kardashians, because it's actually the footage of, like, what people were saying before coronavirus. It's like, there's this thing called coronavirus. Like, should we go to Paris? It's like, I think we're going to be okay. People are saying,
stuck.
Right. So it's like, there was so much uncertainty. It's actually interesting to watch, like, how we took it before we knew it was, like, a serious thing.
No. And before Kim went to Paris... I was sitting with her and I gave her a Judy kit that had kind of these wildfire prevention masks. We now know them as N95. But before this, at Judy, we had no idea. We had never even thought of pandemics.
What a commodity they were.
Yeah.
Right.
And she was like, I'm going to use my mask on the plane. I'm like, oh, I think that's excessive. Like, you probably don't need to. Fast forward now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, we came in with a hazmat suit on to the studio.
Right. Yeah.
No, it's crazy, crazy times we're living
in. It really is.
Wow. So the podcast is available everywhere.
Yes, everywhere. Amazon, Spotify.
Yes, Amazon just launched podcast.
Okay.
Yes. Amazon Music, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, all the places.
Oh my God, yes, my publicist.
That's very exciting. And it's called Emergency Contact. And you could follow both of them on Instagram, catch up on new episodes, find out information, see Simon without a shirt on. Great picture, by the way.
Thank you. Facetune, FaceApp, everything. All the above.
All the apps.
Love that. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you guys for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow for our, Tuesday. Oh, no. Wednesday. Hump day. Okay. Bye. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.